Hello and welcome back to Bricks and Banner, the show with real talk from the custom Lego community. I'm your sickest host, Billy Moore, and as you could tell from my voice, I'm currently under the weather. I've been coughing so much that my vocal cords are not the way they used to be. Thankfully, when I had this conversation with our lovely guest, I was in full health and I had a normal voice, so I'm going to keep the introduction brief to spare you having to listen to me any longer. Follow on Instagram or whatever I normally say. But most importantly, this episode we have on a legendary member of the community, Andrew Peckavam. He's the owner of Brick Affliction, and he's a very interesting character. He's done a lot in this community over a long time. He's been absent from the community for a while now, so he may not be a recognizable household name to you guys, but we really got into a lot of interesting discussions here, so I hope you enjoy. With no further ado, this is the podcast. Enjoy. My voice is just disgusting. I'm so sorry. enjoy the conversation.
And I'm here with Andrew, aka Peckavam, aka the owner of Brick Affliction. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me, Billy.
I'm so glad to have you on. There was lots of AKAs there, but you're a very talented individual in the community, and it's a pleasure to see you coming back into things. So for anybody who would be on the Instagram community who might not know about your past on Flickr, give yourself a bit of an introduction. So
yeah, definitely. So first off, I mean, as I mentioned, I'm happy to be here, and I know we talked earlier. I'm super happy to be back. You know, I never really left. I think, you know, people always say, like, I didn't post anything, and I ironically enough still haven't technically posted a Lego figure in like 6 years, but it's always on my stories, but I never really left. Like, from time to time, I would always check in on Flickr. I'd see what people were up to. Every so often, if I felt like a wild hair, I'd make a comment or two. But I've always kind of stayed up on what people have been doing. But I will say, I mean, the past couple years, I'd say 2 to 3 years, and then now me coming back, shit is just crazy. Like, the stuff that people are doing and you know, like, where where the hobby has come. I mean, the only word I can really use to describe it is just proud in a weird way, because it's like, you know, if people don't know, I know we can get into this topic, but, you know, things kind of started with Hazel way back in the day. And then I sort of kind of took that a little bit further. And then now, I mean, if you look at people like Zach Lewis, like Aussie Figures and all those people, like,
oh yeah, unreal.
He is a way better sculptor than I ever will be, like, period, hands down. And it's cool to see that, man. Like, I'm happy about that. So
yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the community is kind of built on the backs of the giants who, you know, paved the way. So it's just going to be a progressive, it's just going to continue spiraling out of control, where the next generation just gets better and better than the ones who came before it. And it's just going to be people who've been modding a year are already making, like, the most sensational work. It's unbelievable to see.
Well, it's like you said, you know, on your episode with Ethan yesterday, like, the amount of stuff that's available to people nowadays is just insane. I mean, that was one of the biggest things that kind of surprised me, was when I really jumped back in and I started, I went back to everybody's website who I used to shop at frequently, like Tiny Tactical, Minifig Cat, like even just Brick Arms. You go back and the I'd say close to 5 or 6 years of products that I missed. I mean, you literally can make anything nowadays, you know? And then of course, with the introduction of 3D printing, which obviously I'm big into, as you're well aware, we can talk about that later, but it's just incredible the amount of resources that people have available to them.
Totally. All right, let's take it back. We'll get a chronological order kind of thing going here, but
sure.
How did you first get introduced to customizing Lego? And like, so what year is it, would you say?
This is a funny story. So if I go back, well, let's see, we're 2022. I think it was about 7 or 8 years ago. So God, that would have been like 2014, 2015, give or take. I'm not exact on those dates, but I'll tell you exactly what happened, because it's a very funny story. So I still play the games, but I used to be a huge Gears of War fan. Like, that was my game. And I was playing Gears of War one day, And I don't know why, but I just like was thinking, I think I might have seen a cool Lego set recently that like just made me think like, oh, that's awesome. I was like, I wonder if somebody makes Lego Gears of War stuff. And I started searching, scouring the depths of the internet, and I came across Hazel stuff, the Amazing Armory original like Gears of War set. I think it was like a piece of armor, the chainsaw gun, the shotgun, and maybe something, one other thing, maybe a helmet or something. And I was like, how do I get a hold of that? And so again, I, you know, kind of started searching the depths of the internet, and I came across Flickr. And I'd never heard of what Flickr was prior to that. Wasn't big into kind of like, I guess you would use the term like online social media. I'm not really sure how you would describe that at the time, but that's kind of the word I'm going to use.
Yeah.
And so I made an account on Flickr and I tried to get a hold of his stuff, but it was really, really hard. And I think back then, I'm pretty sure that they were only selling like you had to get in touch with either Hazel, I believe his buddy at the time, Alfred, who like kind of those two ran Amazing Armory. And then, you know, you mentioned this with Ethan yesterday, that guy Orange.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I can't remember how the details worked out because it's a little hazy because almost 8 years ago, but that was how you had to get a hold of it. I'm pretty sure Orange is in Germany or was at the time. So really difficult. However, I was able to somehow track down a set. I can't remember how I did that, but I got the set. And dude, I remember this is the first time I ever picked up like paintbrushes minus like, you know, your art class and like, you know, like
middle school grade. Yeah.
So like, it was, for lack of a better term, it was god awful. Uh-huh. And I didn't even think I posted it if you go back and look on my Flickr. But I remember, so that was kind of the start. And then I also was really interested in, I think it was like samurai stuff. And I was just playing this game on Xbox called Jade Empire, which was like an old Kung Fu RPG. And Justin from Saber Scorpion had made some stickers from those games. And so I bought his stickers, and I'm pretty sure that was officially like my first figure post, was like with some straight Saber Scorpion stickers, like posted up on a Lego figure. I didn't even know how to do lighting. Like I used an old, like an iPhone 1. It was ridiculous. And I don't know how, but I just kind of, I kept looking at all the stuff that people were doing on Flickr, following all the big names at the time. And again, I'm a little bit hazy as to exactly who it was, but I just kept trying and kept working and kept painting. And all of a sudden I just kind of started trying new things and doing different stuff. And I started to kind of get noticed a little bit more, and really started to do some really heavy customizing. And I think where things really took off for me was at some point, and I can't remember the details, but Hazel contacted me. Mm-hmm. And he offered me to kind of send me some stuff. And he was showing me the things he was working on, like the Halo Reach armor, all that stuff. And, you know, he really, that was kind of where things started taking off for me. And then I started making some really cool customs, you know, some Resident Evil stuff. We talked about my Dead Space customs, had some buddies edit some photos. And that was when I started to become really popular. And then I think that's kind of where it leads up in time. I'm sure you might ask this question later, but, you know, kind of where you felt like I left my mark on the community. Mm-hmm. Is it cool if I just get into that? Because I feel like it's kind of a segue into there.
Yeah, we'll get back. We'll come back to that. There was a lot there for just right.
That's really how I got started, honestly, Billy. So
yeah, that's crazy. So all right. I feel like, I was always aware of Hazel in the periphery, but he kind of, everything sort of went down.
yeah.
And I say that, but I don't even know exactly. I don't have the full picture of things. But that all sort of his light faded as I only just entered the community. So I only hear his name. And the funny thing is now with the podcast, it's sort of like unraveling the mystery as I talk to more people who were from around the time. And each time I pick up like a clue and I discover like one more name or what, like, you know, like Red Bean Studios or like this and that. Like there's always like some random piece of information I'm picking up here. But yeah, I'd say just I'll ask this selfishly just because I need to know more. But for the audience as well, who might even be even more clueless, could you give us a little more background on who Hazel was?
Absolutely. So, and it's funny, I'll give you the background and I can even tell you because I know that you asked Ethan this question. I can tell you exactly what happened. So I will fill that in, but I'll tell you. Oh, so
excellent.
Yeah. So Hazel was a customizer, I believe, also doing some form of like toy manufacturing in Hong Kong. And his, I don't have any photos or anything of his very old work or his work on like original toys. And again, I can't remember if it was like action figures or stuff similar to like, God, what's that brand that does like those very blocky action figures? Not Mega Bloks, but you know, they do like movie stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like the Funko Pops?
Yes. Well, not Funko Pops, but they're like
something like adjacent to that.
Yes. I can't, the name is, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of it. But long story short, I can't remember if it was that or like action figure style stuff.
Sure.
He was working at a factory making toys in Hong Kong. And all I know is obviously, as I said earlier, I came onto the scene when he had already started dabbling in custom Lego with his Gears of War stuff. Mm-hmm. But that was when I kind of met him, and he was doing, you know, he was just kind of the original person, in my opinion, who started the custom Lego community. I mean, I'm sure there were people who had done stuff before, but in my opinion, I really feel like he is the person that, like, as much as I hate to say it, we all kind of spawned from to an extent, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm sure it would have came around eventually, but I really think he was the catalyst for starting custom Lego. And mm-hmm. So that's kind of where he came from. And so he was living in Hong Kong, making his stuff. And I think that's how he would be able to cast his stuff, is he was tied to that factory in China that his partner at the time, Alfred, who I'm actually still kind of in contact with. He doesn't do Lego stuff or toys anymore, but Alfred, I believe, worked at the factory. So Alfred was kind of his de facto caster, you know, and they would cast their stuff. And so to fill in the gap for you, Billy, really what happened was, is that, you know, after I came in, Hazel started talking to me. He was doing a bunch of his Halo stuff, and he had worked, you know, Pedro, my old partner, you know, his name is Pete. He had gotten in with Hazel, kind of, you know, buying some of his stuff and kind of reselling it. And essentially what had happened was, is that Pedro placed an enormous order. I mean, something upwards of like $4,000 to $5,000 worth of product from him.
And for the context, back in the day, that is a lot of Lego. Oh, it's still a lot of Lego. But when you have people like feeding their families off a Lego business, you know, $4,000 to $5,000 could seem small in comparison. But that, I mean, that was huge for such a niche, small community at the time.
8 years ago, Billy, that's an insane amount of money on Lego stuff. Yeah. Like even by our standards nowadays, you know what I mean? Like when you've got like, you know what, 10 to 12 part casted sets, they could run you between $50 to $100. That's right. Still, let's just say it is a metric shit ton of money. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So that was a lot. And then on top of it, at the same time, I personally, as well as numerous other people, had also placed quite a large amount of orders for his, like his Noble Team stuff, his Halo Reach sets. Mm-hmm. And, I'll fill in this gap as well. There was also something he was working on where he had just kind of started to pioneer the whole Lego ball jointed arm stuff. And he had told me that he was like, yeah, I've got like 100 of these things ready to go. Like, you know, the torso and the ball jointed arms and everything. They'll be produced in like 2 weeks or whatever. So I placed a big order of those as well, 'cause I wanted to start, you know, messing around with those. And he had sent out a few things, but like he just ultimately ended up, as Ethan said, ghosting everybody. I mean, even me. And he literally disappeared on all forms of communication that we had. And so, you know, like Pedro was out, like I said, thousands of dollars. I probably was out between maybe $1,000 to $1,200, maybe $1,500, give or take, whatever. You know, the amount's irrelevant at this point is what happened, you know?
Right, of course.
And so that's what happened. And just to fill in the last portion of it is really his partner at the time, Alfred, who I mentioned to you before, he kind of like dabbled a little bit in trying to get the factory back up and going. And Alfred did some set designs too. He had like a really cool Iron Man, that original, like
from Amazing Armor. Yeah,
exactly. Yep. Yeah. So that was Alfred. And so when you saw Amazing Armor come back very briefly, that was Hazel's old partner. And, you know, look, I've never asked Alfred, like, what happened? Do you still talk to Hazel? I don't really go there because I feel like it's just – there's no need to rehash that stuff. Mm-hmm. But that is what happened with Hazel. That is what he did, and that is why he is not around anymore. However, I think it's important to recognize, especially myself, like, he is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing today and why I started in the community. So I in a weird way, I thank him for that. But he's also kind of an asshole. So
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never want to meet your heroes, as they say. So
absolutely. What's the Batman? You either live long enough to become a villain. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to be
there you go.
The villain.
Thank you. So.
Oh, man. Okay, then. Well, I'm glad to finally get the fuller picture. I've always had bits and pieces. I knew he scammed some people, this and that, but it's never been as crystal clear as that. So
yeah,
we're making Bricks and Banner history right now. We'll have to
the Hazel mystery has been unraveled.
We have to uncover a new mystery pretty soon to keep going with and following the rabbit trail. But
I know.
So where we left off with your own story of this, Hazel had contacted you and given you a few pieces, I believe.
Yes.
All right. If you want to continue on from there, then.
Yeah. So I think where my, again, you know, it's been, God, I want to say close to 6-7 years since I've posted anything. Obviously there's people, it's funny, when I first jumped back in, I was messaging a few people, and even like Zach from Aussie Figures, he didn't know who I was, you know?
Wow.
It's cool, man. Again, I don't take any offense to that, but it's kind of funny. So to fill in that gap, you know, there's a lot of people that just don't know who I am or like what I did. And I guess while I am the least egotistical person in the world, I think if I had to pinpoint like where I made my mark on the community is that Hazel and all them, what they were doing was, is they were sculpting on top of like slip-on pieces of armor that Lego was already making. Right. You know? And
right. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. And so while I enjoyed that and I thought it was cool, I think you can tell, like, I always really try and push the envelope of detail, you know? And so I'm not a huge fan of stuff that's like truly modular to the extent of like slip-on things. Now, there's caveats to that, and I'll talk about that at a later date, but I started kind of sculpting onto the Lego pieces themselves. You know what I mean? And that was really where I feel like I was the person to kind of start that whole thing. And then it's now again, spiraled to the point of, I mean, there are people who are just 10 times better than I will ever be. And it's great, but that's really what I did is I was like, you know what? This looks too bulky to me. You know, this isn't as functional as I want it to. I want things to be a little bit more like action figures. And so I just started sculpting directly onto the Lego pieces, onto the heads, onto the torsos, onto the legs, onto the arms, onto the hands. And then, I mean, now 7 years later, you've got, you know, the sculpting community, this is what it's turned into. So
that's really interesting.
Yeah, see, that's what I did. I think if I had to pinpoint my mark on the community, that's what it was.
The difficult thing when you look back historically on things is you sort of take for granted what's now the norm. So to understand that at the time, it wasn't commonplace for people to be just sculpting straight onto the bodies like that is very interesting to learn.
Well, and by all means, if there's somebody else out there that I'm forgetting and I'm missing a piece, like I'd be more than happy to be humbled, but I'm pretty sure that that's the case. And on top of it too, it's funny you say that, Billy, because when I first started doing a couple of things, I had so many people be like, this doesn't look like Lego. You can't do this. Or this looks like, it's like, screw you. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And now look at where the community's gone. You know?
Right. Yeah. I will say though, as much as I like your style and the uniqueness it brought, one gripe I have is that I got one of the Battlefield 4 Chinese engineers off of Joe Staya 1 year.
Not to say, bro, and it's a hey. So I'll just address this. The helmet was trash. And like, I'll be real with you. It's funny. So we can get to it later in the podcast, but I will say we are going to be bringing back some old sets because I've been able to get a hold of some of them. And that is one that I'm going to bring back, but I am absolutely getting a new mask for that. And I don't know what I was thinking with that. Like that is, when I look back at all of my work, that's probably one of my worst things I've ever sculpted. Like it's straight trash, bro. Like, honestly.
Well, the saving grace is that the arms and the legs are pretty, pretty damn dope. But, yeah, the having the solid body and head was just,
yeah, definitely. Oh, and it's funny now that you say that too, like I'm going to have to, when I get the set, you know, before I send it off to be casted, I'm going to have to cut off the head and then take a peg from a Lego figure, get it on there just right. And then make sure it's strong enough to be casted that way. So it's going to take a little bit of time, but I assure you to all the people who saw that and were like, excuse me, but what the fuck is this? Like I'm going to fix that. So apologies.
Don't worry. If you haven't already seen it and gone, what the fuck is this? It'll be in the wrap up so you can enjoy in the pleasure of Good. Questioning reality.
Hey, and I think that highlights a perfect example, man. Like people need to be able to take shit like that, you know, like because that's how we get better. You know, like that's now it's funny because the weird part is I look back at that. You and I both agree it's terrible. But like when I originally got finished with it, it's kind of like when you see some people walking around, and you're like, did you look in the mirror before you got dressed
today? Right.
Did I really look at this? And clearly I apparently did. So it's like, that's crazy. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah. Well, it just is a mark that you've progressed so far since then, at least.
I appreciate it, man. That's so funny you referenced that. I was like, I'm going to have to address this in some way, shape, or form.
Your dirty laundry is going to come back and haunt you at some point.
Absolutely.
Here.
As it should.
Right on. All right. So can you narrow down what one of the first items you started sculpting was?
Let's see. I'm trying to think because it was really my sculpting. Yeah, actually, wow, that's a dumb answer for that question you just said. I know exactly what that was. So it's interesting. I originally started off, obviously, modding other people's stuff. Like, again, I know I keep referencing this, but if you go back to my Flickr, the old Dead Space suits that I have are still up there. Those are literally like plastic pieces that I've like cut and just filed, you know? Mm. But the first set that I ever personally sculpted myself was the very first thing that when Pedro and I came together and formed our company, Brick Affliction, is that Gears of War 3 set. It was that slip-on armor with the belt and that shotgun that that Marcus has in the game, that double barrel shotgun. That was the very first thing that I ever sculpted on my own. I tried to – it's weird. Like, I was trying to do stuff prior to that. And in fact, funny thing is, I would be on like – I can't remember what chat we were using, but Hazel would use a chat system, you know, like where we – like it's kind of like a Skype thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were on it. And he would like help me sometimes, like show me how he would do certain things. And dude, I just sucked. Like – it just was not working. But for some odd reason, when he scammed everybody, I just like got this like it lit a fire under my ass. And I was like, dude, screw it. I'm going to sculpt this thing. And like, in my opinion, for a first time sculpt and set, I think it came out great. You know, so
I could have never told you that was the first piece you've made. That is.
Yeah,
that's a very legendary item.
Right, and it's there. Weird, man. Like I said, it just I started doing it and things just came together. You know what I mean? I tried a shit ton of new techniques that I'd never attempted before as I was doing that. And it just kind of worked. It's almost like fate intervened. It's like, all right, screw Hazel. This is going to work out for you. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that was
the first piece, man.
I'm not sure where this plays in, but I was rather close with Josiah, so I'd be interested to find out how he kind of got into the fold of things. But I don't know. I don't want to jump ahead too far here.
Oh, no. I mean, I think it's definitely relevant, and I think it's, you know, especially relevant in regards to, you know, me bringing Brick Affliction back. But yeah, I mean, really, it's funny. I knew – so, God, it was Bricks Alive. Yeah, that was
his – Yeah, Bricks Alive was his handle.
You know, and he had always just liked my stuff, you know, been I'm going to use the term loyal supporter, you know, and just, you know, always bought a set, painted stuff up. And I guess he started kind of dabbling in sculpting things. And then, you know, really, I guess let me backtrack a little bit, because the reason why Josiah kind of came in was Pedro, my partner, you know, me and him officially kind of started Brick Affliction. Dude, he just kind of like got out of the game, man. You know, I mean, and I totally get it. Like I still talk to Pete every so often. He wishes me happy birthday every year. You know, he's a good dude, but he's got three kids, I think, you know what I mean? A wife and three kids, a full-time job. He's out of it. You know, he doesn't have any interest to come back.
Right.
And so he just kind of got out. And so I was kind of rolling on my own for a little while. And I guess Josiah had like messaged me one day and just kind of said, well, hey, you know, I'm thinking about getting some casting equipment, and he had a couple sculpts that he had done. And he was like, you know, we just kind of started chatting. And then I was like, look, man, I need some help here. Cause I was sending my stuff to China to Alfred, you know, Amazing Armory at the time. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. So you continued the relationship with him.
Absolutely. And it's funny. I know we keep coming like kind of backtracking stuff, but you know, I would say a while after Hazel kind of did what he did and everybody kind of got out and Pedro got out of the game, Alfred kind of messaged me and he was like, hey, I've got these old sets. I'm trying to, you know, sell and kind of cast some stuff. I can cast things for you. So Alfred, when I was on my own for that short time, whether it was, I don't know, 6 months to a year and a half to 2 years tops, Alfred was the guy I was sending my stuff to, and he was casting it for me in China. And, and then Josiah and I kind of, like I said, we had that conversation, and he told me him and his dad like bought some like equipment, like, I mean, stuff that was not necessarily made for casting per se, like a pressurized paint sprayer pot.
That's
like,
what I got. Exactly. I know the vibes
yeah,
on that.
They carried it and made it work, man. And like, if you look at some of the stuff that Josiah casted, it was good quality. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
excellent stuff.
So that's kind of how he got into the fray. And then me and him kind of partnered together. And, you know, I think it's worth noting, I'm sure at one point during the podcast, you were going to ask me like, what happened, right? Like, you know, like why did you disappear? And, you know, I think, that really to tell you what happened, Billy, was, is that, look, you know, I mean, not to get super personal, not that no one's interested, but I just think it's kind of irrelevant now. I was in a really like toxic relationship with my ex-girlfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. And like, I just needed to kind of, I hate to say it, just kind of disappear, you know, like I needed to get out of that situation. I was getting ready to finish up my undergrad and go into a master's program. And I had to move to Louisiana for that. I was living in Cincinnati, Ohio at the time. So I had to like, you know, pick up and move to a different state. And like, you know, I needed like a break from everything, you know?
Yeah,
and so,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are listening to this who can relate. And so I told Josiah, you know, I told him what was going on. Me and him talked frequently. And like, I was like, look, man, I just don't have time to do this anymore. And you're welcome to do whatever you want to do. Like I told him he can use Brick Affliction for how he sees it and like do whatever he wants to do. And it's funny. He like sent me some money from like the profits of some stuff that he recently sold. And like, that was that. And he did contact me. Let's see. I finished my master's degree in like 2018 or 2019. He did call me and we chatted for a little bit and he told me that he was getting ready to kind of like, he didn't have time to do stuff anymore. And
yeah.
Yeah. And so I can't remember the exact conversation, but I said the same thing. I was like, look, man, I'm still busy. You know, I didn't necessarily have any interest in coming back. So I was just like, you know, whatever you want to do, it's not a big deal. Feel free to sell the equipment or use it however you want. And it is what it is. And to kind of like make a long story short, when I sort of got interested in coming back into the fray, I guess you would say, is like, I did call him and him and I had a conversation and I asked him, I said, look, I'm really like, it's been itching at me for a long time. I really want to get back into this stuff. You know, I made my Instagram account to post like my dioramas and stuff. And I can't tell you how many people like messaged me like, are you doing Lego? Are you coming back? Are you doing this? And I was like, no, not at the time. And I was like, I really want to do this. And he was like, look, man, you know, even though you and me were partners, it's your company, right? Like, I mean, you know, you were the one who kind of, you and Pete started Brick Affliction. Pete gave me the go-ahead years ago that he wants out and it's mine to kind of continue on with. And he was like, bring it back, dude. If that's what you want to do, you know, and he's living the married life, as am I, but he just doesn't have any time to do anything, you know, and he has no interest in coming back, but that's kind of how it ended with me and him. And that's how he got into the fray. So.
All right. Yeah. And I mean, perfect segue. I mean, we might as well just keep it rolling. Now you are kind of getting back into the picture. You're bringing Brick Affliction back. You kind of already mentioned sort of the motivations behind getting back into things. Just, you know, life's changed and you've always still had the passion for it. But now you're coming back, I believe, with the resin printed parts. Is that correct? As opposed to casting stuff?
Yeah, so there's actually going to be a combination of both, man. Like we're going to be.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll give you a little bit of, you know, to fill in the final gaps in regards to that. You know, it's like, look, as I said, I never left the hobby world. You know what I mean? It just kind of took breaks. And so about 2 years ago, I really, you know, I as you can tell, if you have not seen my Instagram page, I think obsessed is the wrong word I would use with the Last of Us series.
Yeah, I noticed a little bit of a fetish, some might say.
Absolutely. Oh, definitely. It's like, dude, it's interesting. I won't touch too much upon that whole thing, but it's for me, it's like when I played the first game and now the second game, I know there's a lot of controversy around it. I'm in team amazing, not the one that hates on it, but, playing that game just kind of changed video games for me. Like it's a story. It's not a video game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I love it. And so, I really wanted to do some 1/35th scale kind of Last of Us dioramas. And like, the reason why I kind of started back into the hobby stuff of 1/35th scale things as opposed to Lego was if you look at the very last post, I believe that I had on Flickr, it was actually at Brick Fair years ago. Mm-hmm. I was like toying around with making a Lego action figure to an extent. Like, I mean, it was like a heavily modified figure, you know,
yep.
To the point where I was even trying to make the waist like twist, you know what I mean? And so I was like, that was kind of where things were going for me from Lego to like the 1/35th scale stuff. And then, you know, so when I got back into the hobbies, I was like, let me start off with 1/35th scale because I love that detailed like look of everything. And so I bought a resin 3D printer and kind of started toying around. And I'm still terrible at painting skin tones and stuff. So as you can see, I like outsource all that to some really amazing people on Instagram. but I started doing the dioramas. And then again, I kept getting questions of people asking me, am I coming back to Lego? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? And then I started to notice, I was like, well, I love Last of Us stuff, but no one is making any, like there are a few people who make Last of Us Lego figures, but not to the extent that I would have expected. And maybe that's just because I'm a diehard fan, but yeah. You know, that was
a really few who do. It's just kind of basic prints, or I think there was even like Saber Scorpion made one. So yeah. I mean, there you're really just working on like a decal kind of sticker thing.
Definitely. And I will say, just because I have to shout, you know, I want to shout out a couple. You know, I've got the Inner Whale Customs. I've got his name is now SB Figs, and you've got JTMM. Like those are the three people to the top of my mind. And I know there are more, and I'm not trying to offend anybody. I just can't think of you at the time, but there are more people. But it's just, I mean, when you look at Marvel and DC and all the crap that everybody's doing, I'm just like, I get that The Last of Us might be a little bit of a niche, you know, kind of area. But I mean, when you think about it, Part 2 is the most awarded game in history. So like the fact that I came back into the fold and no one was really doing this stuff, or at least none of the big name companies, I was like, all right, I've got to do something. And so that was really what kind of kickstarted me to get back into it. And so I started, you know, I was a little bit nervous about like sculpting again. So I reached out to a couple of people who I had seen doing some 3D designs for Lego.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, you know, can you do some of this stuff? And that's kind of where some of the initial sets that you're going to see on opening day kind of spawn from, is I wanted to make some custom Last of Us figures. No one was really doing any things that were easily reproducible, i.e. whether it's casted or, you know, 3D printed stuff. And so I had some stuff designed.
Okay. Because see, that was actually something I wanted to ask as well, if you were doing the 3D modeling as well here.
So to answer that question, it's a very short and sweet answer, Billy, is I've dabbled a little bit, and I do have a couple things that I haven't really shown too many people. Hopefully maybe they'll see the light of day at one point. But to be honest with you, man, like it's just not my it's difficult. You know, like the computer programs are tough. And the funny thing is, when I actually was like, all right, I'm going to sculpt some stuff again, like I haven't sculpted a shit ton of stuff since I've been back. I mean, I think you've seen a few things. Like I made that Days Gone figure, you know, just a couple of random different things. Like, I feel like I'm kind of back to sort of where I left off, you know, like I'm not going to go out and make a Master Chief armor anytime soon, but like, I'm definitely to the point where if I look at something, I'm comfortable sculpting again, you know?
So, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How to get back on the bike.
Absolutely. It's, I mean, when you don't touch something for 6 years, like it's not the same, you know? So, yeah.
And here, I'll cut this bit out, but and if you don't want to share, that's fine. Just personal curiosity. Did you get Morphonauts to do the models?
Yeah, so you can keep this in, because one thing I was definitely thinking about, like I wanted to talk with you while we're doing this, is one thing I think you'll see is when we finally get the website back up, up and running, I guess I should say, because it'll probably have to be a different domain name. But one thing I want to make sure I do is like whenever I'm selling a 3D design or a hand sculpted, whether it's me or someone else, On the product page of the website, like I'm going to say who sculpted it. You know what I mean? Like that's, I definitely want to shout out those people. And so I've got a couple different people who I'm working with stuff on. So one thing before we get into the sculpting or the casting stuff is I do want to mention, I don't know if you've seen recently, but Phil, I believe his name is pronounced Pangolin Figs. Phil,
oh yes. Yes,
I'm
yes.
So sorry. Yeah. So Phil is kind of like, me and him are partnering on this. He is kind of going to be my official Brick Affliction partner. And the main reason why that came about was he, I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff that he's sculpted, because he's
unreal. He's dude, unreal.
It's ridiculous. Like Phil, I've tell you this when we talk sometimes, but like his shit is just clean, dude. Like it's just super clean. Like I can sculpt stuff, but like, I would even say there's certain things, like whether it's my lines or, you know, whatever it is, like it's just not as clean as his, like, his shit is good, dude. And he doesn't post enough of it. It's funny. But like, so he's sculpting a lot of stuff. And me and him, actually, we went in together on some casting equipment. And I know he lives in Germany, but dude, he's like, he put in the time, and he's like to the point now where you send him a set, he can cast it. So
that's great. That's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of how that came together. And so me and I just want to make sure I mentioned, me and Phil are like officially partnering on this. So I'll be doing the 3D printing and he'll be doing the casting.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta just say it, because it's almost hysterical how paralleled both of our business ventures have kind of gone. Yeah. Like the main thing with mine was as well, trying to partner with other artists. I even considered reaching out to Pangolin and like asking him to cast like some of his things. So it's so funny that you, you sniped that talent. Cause I mean, he is incredible.
So I'll say this, you know, it's funny, Billy, he actually kind of sniped me, you know, because it was, no, I'm dead serious. Like literally, man, I was dead set on the fact, like people kept asking me, I was just going to do the 3D printing thing. And I had this idea. I was like, look, if the casting opportunity ever comes up again, like in somebody in the US, like I can sit, you know, to where it's like easy for me to send stuff to happens. Mm-hmm. Great. And if not, I'm just going to roll with my 3D printers. You know what I mean? And then Phil was like, dude, I've been trying to cast some of my stuff. I have to send it to all these people and it goes from, you know, point A to point B and there's a middleman involved. And he was like, look, I mean, when you really think about it, even like really good equipment, what I mean, you know, like to get started, I mean, between $500 to $800, like it's not crazy. The mess, yeah. Like it's cheap, but it's not astronomically expensive. And we were like, screw it, man, let's go in together. Let's go halves on this stuff. And he was like, I will spend the time. I will learn how to cast. And then I will cast everything we want casted and you can print everything you want 3D printed and vice versa. And so that's really how that conversation started. So.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. I don't know. I just find it so funny that there's, I find this often happens in the community. This happened recently with some printed items that were coming out. But it's just like, it'll go years. Oh, and you know what else it happened with is the Hazel sort of visors. Yeah. It'll go years and years where a certain sort of theme or genre goes completely untouched. And then all of a sudden, within a very short time, multiple people get extremely interested and start moving and making progress in that area that's been untouched for years and untalked about. It's just, it's so funny to see.
Dude, shout out to Tanner and shout out to Nasty Bricks. Like, I mean, both of them like brought those visors back with a vengeance, man. Like, absolutely. I mean, those things are legit. And so, yeah, both of them, it's super awesome to see what they're doing now. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's just so funny to see like the trajectory of both of our things kind of going in a similar way. But
definitely. And I would even say too, but you know, I think it's good to have like a little bit of healthy quote unquote competition.
Absolutely. Like, no, the reason I wanted to make such a point of it is like, I'm not trying to compete with you. You're going to be like, I'm going to be as much of a fan of your work that you're producing as I hope you would be of things I come out with. So
yeah, absolutely, man. And I think that's what it comes down to is like, I think we'll touch on this very briefly when we get to the copper drop section. I don't want to give anything away, but like, I will always support, you know, people who have supported me. You know, it's just that simple. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So.
And, you know, I do got to say that is funny, though, in terms of the healthy competition. I was working. I don't know if I've posted much of it. I'll send you a photo right now, actually.
Okay.
This was one of the first items I was able to sort of sculpt myself. Also sort of in a similar way that the inspiration just hit and it came together to make your the Gears of War armor.
Okay.
This one, it just came together for me.
Yeah, dude. You were talking about this with Tanner, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah, I was. This is the Oni mask.
Are you going to release these at some point?
Yeah, I have a couple sculpts. I want, you know, how like personal things get in the way, but I just kind of was going through it for a bit and totally fell off the wagon with between the podcast and this casting.
Yeah.
But definitely getting back into it now. I have some workable molds of it. I just need to get them pumping out. Okay. But I had that done, and then no less the day after you posted, I can't recall the game name.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Yes, yes. Literally the day after you posted yours, I'm like, oh goodness, I can't. This guy comes out of nowhere. He's been gone for years, and now he's posting the same things.
No, it's all good. If it makes you feel better, Billy, the mask and Ghost of Tsushima. So here's one thing I will say. Like, I think a lot of people initially are going to be a little bit PO'd about this, but like, my intent is not to like, when you see a set that we're going to release, like aside from like a few accessories and pouches, like some of the gun stuff that I've sent you and some of the pouches that Phil is making, et cetera, like I am not going to sell an individual Ghost of Tsushima mask. Like that's my intent is to sell sets, you know what I mean? Of stuff that like makes a full figure. And again, some people, I can hear it now. I know a lot of people would likely disagree with that quote unquote business model or whatever you want to call it. But like, you have to understand, maybe at a later date, that would become a possibility. But like, me and Phil are really trying to get this thing kind of like up and running and started. And so right now, it just makes more economical sense for us to sell stuff like that. And I guess, you know, to kind of take it a step further, you know, while I have no issues with people like mix matching part, like I think that's awesome when people take parts from this and take parts from that.
Yeah, the kit bashing.
Yeah, it's just, you have to understand, especially from a 3D printing and in where our casting quote unquote operation is at the current moment, like we just don't have the ability to like, you know, print or cast, you know, 100 Ghost of Tsushima mat. You know what I mean? Like it's like, it's just different. Yeah, I guess maybe the ability is the wrong way. Like, sure, I could absolutely do that, but it's just, you know, I we want to invest heavily in this business. We want to grow this stuff. We want to continue to bring, you know, at the most or pretty damn close to it, the most detailed stuff that people can bring, you know, can buy in terms of your favorite movies, video games, TV shows, whatever the hell it is, whatever somebody wants. Like, that's where we want to fill that market. So I would just say, like, if somebody's looking for like an individual, you know, like if you want gun stuff like that, like go to Tiny Tactical. You know what I mean? Like, I realize that Steve, I know you joked about it with Ethan. I know that Steve is taking a little bit of time to ship his stuff, but like, you know, when the accessory set that I sent you for the guns and stuff, that is going to come as a set. You know what I mean? Like you're going to get, you know, 5 to 10 parts, you know what I mean? And I would argue, I think it will be a very affordable price for the stuff that you get. You know what I mean? When you compare that to the other people who are doing 3D printed stuff out there, there might be, you know, 5 to 6 parts to a set, whatever it is, at a certain, you know, $30 to $40 price range. Some of our sets might be a little bit more expensive than that, but keep in mind, like, for instance, one of my Last of Us Ellie sets, like the part two set, that's literally going to come with 12 plus parts. You know what I mean? So
that's,
it's like,
yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. You know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I promise you, like, I'm well aware that, you know, especially thinking back to when I started, you know, I mean, there's financial constraints for people. I understand that people want to be able to buy our products. But our intent is not to sell individual masks like that. I know that was a long tangent to explain that, but
no, I completely understand the logistical issues that go into trying to just mass produce a singular item.
yeah, and it's just, I mean, you keep in mind too, like you mentioned, you know, I'll kind of go back to your question about the designers and stuff. Like, I have to pay, you know, I'm not a good 3D modeler. Like, I pay people to design these things, you know what I mean? So it's like, well, if only people want the Ghost of Tsushima mask, while I think it's awesome, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it just doesn't make
it. Don't keep the lights on. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's different. And so, you know, I really think that people will enjoy the sets that we're going to bring to the market. And one thing I will say too, is I know 3D printed parts are a little bit difficult because sometimes they can be kind of fragile. I know I sent you one thing that, again, I'm not going to be able to sell on opening day, but it's like, I can assure somebody if they get something and it's broken or something like that, like, you just hit me up, you know, like I'll take care of you. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely,
there's not going to be any issues about that stuff. You know what I mean? What I do have a problem with is if somebody places a $200 order and then they, like, you know, they file a dispute on PayPal, even though they get their stuff. I've been seeing some people post shit about that. And I'm like, man, that sounds like a nightmare.
Oh yeah, it is. That is.
So, yeah.
That's a nightmare scenario right there.
Yeah. So,
you know, Tanner had hit me up with a question asking you who was Orange.
Oh,
but that, I don't know if you want to tackle that. It would have been better placed much earlier.
No, it's good, man. We did briefly touch on it. And, you know, Tanner, I apologize. You know, I don't have a ton of info as to, like, who he was. And I feel terrible saying this if he ever were to listen to this. I don't remember his real name. He did tell me and him were on speaking basis, you know, on a daily speaking at one point. But I know that at some, he was just a cool customizer, kind of really started to revolutionize stuff when Hazel was kind of in the mix. Hazel was giving him stuff, or he had a direct link to get stuff from Hazel, whatever it is. And he was like a person where he would do innovative things, but it was very Lego-esque, you know, if that makes sense. Like,
it's the aesthetic.
Exactly. He would look at the shit that I do and he's like, dude, that's too much. You know what I mean? Like, that's exactly what he would say, you know, and not in a bad way. That's just not his style.
Right. Right.
And it's funny too, because he's a big fan of The Last of Us as well, but I don't think he's even around anymore. So not to my knowledge, but yes, Tanner, I'm so sorry. I don't really know. That's who I know Orange as, is he was just one of the OGs in the game and had a connection to Hazel. And that's how I kind of got hooked up with him. And we talked for a while and helped each other out. And then he kind of disappeared, I want to say a year or so before I did. So.
All right. Well, yeah. The more, you know, we just keep checking off the mysteries. So going back to it, and I mean, sort of in line with some of the questions we got on Instagram, quite a few people were anxiously awaiting a re-release or a reimagining of your Halo Reach armors. And I'm aware that that is a coming release. Would you mind going over what some of the stuff you have coming out soon is?
Yeah, definitely. So I'll start with that because I did send you a kind of a prototype photo today of the, is it pronounced Emil or Emily? How is that? I mean, I know I'm an idiot. People are going to be like, well, wait, why are you making the stuff if you don't
know? Dude, I wish I could dig you out of this hole, but I'm an idiot alongside you. Yeah. And I was hoping you knew the pronunciation.
excuse me for saying, I have no fucking idea. you know what though? But that doesn't mean his armor is any less badass than it is. So,
right. I actually have one of the original sets of it. It's unpainted yet. When I initially got it, I just tracked it down from somebody in a trade. I showed it off to Tanner and he was like, dude, you have to paint that. I was like, no, I can't. I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to it, but maybe one day.
Well, and so to kind of like piggyback off of that, it's interesting how this came about, but I assure you, I had every intention of, you know, kind of trying to do, some Halo armors at some point. And so, you know, it's interesting to touch on, you asked me about the designers and stuff, and now I think is a good time. So I'm actually working with multiple different designers on 3D stuff. One of which is Morphonauts. His name is Bo. Good, great guy. Another one is Titan King. I'm not sure.
I'm familiar with him as well.
Yeah. So he's been working on a couple of stuff for me. And then, I have another buddy who, he's not super active on Instagram. He doesn't do Lego stuff. Like, I'm the first person who's ever like asked him to do Lego stuff. Mm. So he's kind of working on a couple things. I will show that stuff at a later date. And then, the last piece, it's really important. I definitely want to shout him out. Are you familiar with Blacko Graphic?
Oh, of course. So
his name's Jason. Amazing. Yeah. We're going to kind of like partner on some stuff. He that Emily armor that I sent you today. He is the one who made that.
No way.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Definitely. And so it's interesting how that came about because, you know, I never want to like shit on a designer, but I had actually reached out to Titan King months ago to have an Emily armor made. Cause I knew I wanted, that was like one of the first things. I was like, I got to bring this back. Mm-hmm. And he did some work on it, man. And I'm going to be frank, you know, like it just wasn't up to my level of like, I'm going to use the term perfection or just, you know, it just wasn't what I was happy releasing. Like,
yeah, it wasn't what you envisioned. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, I was originally like thinking, me and Phil were talking about it, like, dude, what are we going to do? Like, you know, we spent a considerable amount of money on the design of this set. It's not just coming out. Like, what should we do? And, you know, randomly, like recently, Blacker Graphic, or Jason, I'm going to use Jason, that's his name. He reached out to me and was like, dude, I've got some of your old sets. Like, do you guys want them to cast them? Which I'll touch on that in a minute too. And I was like, yes and yes. And then on top of it, he asked what I was working on, showed him that. And he was like, dude, it was funny. I showed him the armor and like an hour and a half later, he like sent me a photo of the legs and he was like, let's use these. And I was like, holy shit, dude, I mean, this is next level. And so he was like, look, let me just finish it out. And in Titan King's defense, he did use a version of the helmet as well as the shoulder armor that Titan King made. Mm-hmm. But I think when you look at the figure combined, if I were to show you the photo of the one Titan, that's where it's like, okay, this is the quality and the level of detail that Brick Affliction is known for, you know?
Right.
And so, that's kind of how that started. So to make a long story short, we're doing some stuff with Titan King. We're doing some stuff with Morphonauts. Blacko Graphic is going to be partnering with us on a couple of different things, specifically that, Emily Halo armor. I've been begging him to let me print some of his older sets. So I will update everybody if that comes into fruition. So that's kind of something else. And then, other than that, you know, anything that I sculpt, I do have, something that I've not shown anybody yet. Phil has seen it. So I did make a Halo ODST armor set that I sculpted.
Awesome.
So Phil's going to cast that. Trying to think of what else. That Days Gone figure, I hate to say it, man. I think I'm going to keep that one as a personal. I just don't know if there would be enough buzz around it. Like, you know, I love the game. As you can tell, I love zombie anything. And it was a cool figure, but it's just like the hat's not removable. It just doesn't make logistical sense to cast it, you know? So I'm going to keep that to myself. I know I made one of the Vasquez, you know, that armor that Vasquez has in Aliens. I did make that. I'm not sure if I'll cast that just because, you know, Brickmania makes one, and I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to necessarily stomp on anybody's toes. But yes, I've got that as far as sculpted stuff on my end. Phil's got some things in the pipeline. He's got it's like a German figure, a German World War II German figure. He's got, have you seen his Spetsnaz?
I believe so. If it's posted, yeah. I have seen it before. Okay. Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure if he posted it on his Instagram page. I'm terrible. I could easily look, but regardless, that's going to be coming.
Yeah. It is up there.
He's going to be doing, I don't want to speak for him, but he's got some other stuff that he's kind of sculpting right now that I think people will be excited about. And then as far as The Last of Us stuff, I mean, as you can tell, I mean, I've done a couple different sets. I'm planning on having, you know, a Last of Us 1 Ellie and Joel set, multiple different outfits from The Last of Us 2 for Ellie. I've got some infected stuff. I've got like a bloater, the Rat King, that crazy ass monster that Abby fights in the basement. Some Abby sets, and then, you know, some different accessories, guns, you know, things like that. And just for the Last of Us fans out there, I do want to preface, if there is ever another game, which I hope there will be, you will absolutely see stuff from me. So you don't even have to ask about that. let's see. I don't know if you saw that figure I posted on my story the other day. It's that military looking guy. So that is actually from Resident Evil 8 Village. It's like at the end of the game, there's this like, well, they're throughout the game, but there's this squad that like is called the Hound Wolf Squad. Dude, if you go up and look up their outfits, it is badass. Like I saw this shit one day scrolling through Pinterest and I was like, I've got to make this. So that will be a set that will be released. And that's a set that I'm going to include with a bunch of different gun accessories that I sent you and some other stuff that I haven't shown people yet. So that'll be coming out. I've got the Dead Space set that you have a copy of, the Ghost of Tsushima set that we talked about. And then, God, I'm trying to think. I mean, I've got to fix that Elysium exosuit set. I know a couple people I've shown that to are really looking forward to that, but
I can't wait to mess around with it as well. But yeah, it being a bit fragile. I mean, you could just, you look at it and you know, oh, geez, this is going to be.
I think a bit is an understatement, Billy. I mean,
yeah, I know.
I apologize. This is one of those things. It's like, you know, when you have an idea and stuff comes together, it's like my buddy who designed it. The design is, I mean, absolutely fucking amazing.
It is lovely. I know once it comes together, it's going to be glorious, but just seeing how thin the pieces are, you just know from the get-go it's going to be a pain to put together and maintain your sanity and the integrity of the parts. So,
you know, I thought about it. It's funny. I was thinking, I was like, you know, maybe because I did make the Max DaCosta, whatever, the main character from the movie, I did make a figure of him back in the day. I was like, well, maybe I could like sculpt a t-shirt onto a torso and then glue everything on and sell it like that. But then I was like, but then like I could see some really cool stuff that people could make with that. So I was like, you
right,
know what?
If it was
I need to go back and to the drawing board on that one. So overall design will not change, but definitely going to strengthen up some parts. So stay tuned for that one. And then as far as, you know, stuff in the near future, you know, obviously you saw a little glimpse of some Halo stuff. I definitely want to revisit some of the other Noble team members with Blackographic if he's willing. Perhaps maybe a Master Chief at some point, because the way he did the Emily armor, I was like, holy shit, I would love to see what he'd do for that. And you know, just I think just whatever, you know, I've got some military stuff I'm thinking about doing, some kind of futuristic military stuff. And I don't know, I mean, I'm open to suggestions. I mean, I really want to kind of bring some stuff that people want to see that's not already saturated. Like, I can assure people, and I don't mean this in a bad way, you are not going to see Marvel stuff from me. You're not going to see a Batman armor, like, you know, and not that, I mean, the new Batman movie was badass. Like, it was great. It's just, there's so many people doing it, you know, so.
No, I'm with you on that. It's always, it always rubs me a little the wrong way, even if the design is entirely different, just to waste the creative energy on something that already exists out there without like, there's like crucial need for a different version. And I was just like, I wish you did something else. So I'm always happy to hear that. And you have such a huge slate of releases. It's going to be super exciting once all this stuff starts coming out.
Yeah, dude, you should see the amount of freaking resin I've gone through in the past like month and a half. Like I have this shelf in my office and like, I'm literally just trying to like just ramp up for production to like, because one thing I will say this, I don't mean any dig at like, you know, some of the other 3D printing people out there, but like if you order something from me, like, and it's not in stock, like I'm not going to sell it. You know what I mean? Like it's,
yeah.
And there's one caveat to that. So I don't know if you've seen, I sent a couple people the photo, a sample of the Rat King 3D model that Titan King made for us. It's a monster. It's like a boss fight in The Last of Us. It's freaking enormous. That thing literally takes me like 26 hours to print.
What?
Well, I'll explain why, Billy. You know, not to get off on a tangent, but so one of the things, I don't know if you noticed from my prints that you kind of looked at, I would consider my stuff like really high quality.
I wanted to even get into that if we're going to talk printers, because it's almost unparalleled by any other resin stuff I've held.
I'll get into that in a second, but just to finish off that last kind of line I was going on is that
continue.
The Rat King thing, it literally takes 26 hours for me to print. Currently, because I don't have a super large 3D printer, I can only print one of them at a time. That will be the one item that we will sell on the store that will be made to order. But other than that, like I just can't can't operate a business like that, dude. You can't sell stuff that's not in stock. You know what I mean? So I have a big problem with that. And so I am
It's the way to go to have the stock on hand and only sell that. I've heard from people who are operating those resin businesses. And I'm not sure exactly the philosophy behind it. I think it's just because it's easy, relatively easy. I don't want to discredit the work that goes into resin printing, but you know, if you get an order, you just print it out, but then you just fall behind so quickly. And definitely much better to have it all on hand.
And I think you just highlighted a point, Billy, like it might seem easy on the outset, but then when you've got 10 people who order the same set and like, you know, you've got a build plate, depending on the size of the printer you've got a build plate that only prints like five, if it's a 10 part set, only five of the sets at one time, and then one piece out of one of the sets breaks, and it's like, well, you know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't logistically make sense for me. And I'll be honest with you, as a customer who's been on the receiving end of something like that, you can't have people place an order and ship something 3 months later. You just can't do that. Like, that's not how you operate a business. I don't care that's not a good business model. And I truly do believe that operating like that will eventually bite people in the ass, in my opinion. So,
yeah, no, I can agree with that for sure.
Yeah. So,
and if nothing else, it just, you build that reputation and it's something you'd wish to avoid, you know, even
absolutely.
If people do
always
come back.
I'm okay with a gas mask looking like shit. You know what I mean? Cause I can always remake that. You know what I mean? It's like, if something breaks or there's a problem with the model or somebody wants to give constructive criticism or feedback about how to make something better, I'm all ears and I will absolutely implement that. But like those types of things, how you operate the business, it's kind of like, you know, you can put mustard on a turd sandwich, but it's still a turd sandwich. You know what I mean? So,
so true. So yeah. True. Excellent. Excellent point.
I've never done that, but.
All right, Mode. You want to get into Copper Drop here?
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's get into Copper Drop.
Awesome. So first item up here, we have from Brick Arms, the robot joint arms. These are made for, see, we're having issues with the names. It's the Star Wars droid. Everyone knows who it is. I don't know if they
I don't know the name.
Yeah. It's the droids, the clankers, as I think they were called in Clone Wars.
Yes.
How are you feeling about these?
So, interestingly enough, I'm glad it's funny. All three of the Copper Drop items that you sent me, I actually have a little bit of talking to do about them. And I'll keep it kind of short and sweet for this one. But ultimately, I think I'm actually going to cop a couple, and I'll tell you why. So I have actually, for the longest time, well, I say longest, but maybe the past 6 months, have you ever seen the movie Chappie?
Oh, of course.
Dude, I'm one of my goals, like before this year is out, hopefully, I want to make a custom Chappie for people to buy.
Mm.
And, I want to, not that I'm like cast Brick Arm stuff, but like I want to experiment with, what I was actually originally going to do was take one of the Lego, I think they're just the battle droids, I think is what they call them. Lego battle droid base models. And I actually saw a YouTube video of this dude on, I don't even know if he's like a big customizer in the community, but he like drilled out holes and put pins in to make the joints like movable.
Oh, wow. And, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I want to do for the Chappie figure that I'm going to make. You know, I wanted to see how, kind of how Will's system worked. And if nothing else, if it became one of these things where it's like, all right, this is just going to have to be a personal figure, then I was going to use the Brick Arms ones. And if not, then I was going to kind of like mod my own out of the Lego stuff and then cast that. So That's a cop for me simply because I want to make a Chappie figure. And I felt that was a good way for me to experiment with how to make the joints movable.
Yeah, no, that's a great call. That would be excellent for that.
Yeah. So.
All right. Next item up, previously mentioned Nazi Bricks, but he created the Space Marines based on Warhammer 40K. Super interesting model. And especially since you've dabbled in other miniature work, I thought this would be a interesting item to get your take on.
Well, and so it's funny because it's very simple. I've actually already bought a couple. So, and it's funny. Shout out to Nazi about this. So I bought some from him, I want to say, like right when I got back into stuff a couple months ago, and right before he kind of like took a little bit of a break. I'm not sure if it was like life stuff or to kind of restock the store. But have you seen the crazy bricks, like the legs and the arms? I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to do the armor in like a cool pose, you know? And me being the dumbass that I am, I started messing around with the leg stuff to fit it on one of the crazy bricks things, and the shit broke. And it's not his fault. Like, it's my fault. I want to preface that it's right. Not because the resin was quality. I was being an idiot about it. And so, needless to say, I have placed another order with him. I did get a notification last week that it shipped. And I'm actually going to make that. I think his name is Titus or whatever from the 40K video game or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw they're making a sequel.
I have not, no.
Dude, the gameplay trailer is pretty legit. Only like the last 12 seconds of the trailer's gameplay, but you got to check it out. All right. I loved that game back in the day because I'm not a big real-time strategy game. I can't stand that stuff. And so I like the third-person action games, obviously. And so I love that game. So I'm going to use that armor that he made to make that figure for myself as kind of like a personal one. So,
well, I love the idea of using the resin armor set on the crazy legs. So I hope – I wish that would work.
You know, I think if I had bought three or four of them, it might have been able to work. It's just there are very subtle places as to where like the legs bend to where it just didn't fit. And in fact, you would have to break stuff. And the problem, the one thing that I would say about resin stuff that's very difficult is like, you know, when it comes to certain Lego elements, like you can cut and mod things very easily. Mm-hmm. With resin stuff, you got to be a little bit more careful because if you use certain tools like, you know, stuff gets shaved away and things chip to where like, unless you're really good at like with putty work, it's just not going to look the same. And it just stuff cracked in places that just was unfixable. And again, it was not his fault. It was totally mine. So
yeah, no, I've learned my lesson with resin parts at this point to only sand it unless I'm like certain it's not going to splinter and chip if I hit it with a knife, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So. Yeah. But that just comes with time working with the material.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Last item up here by Handmade Armory. He started casting his own work recently. Some really interesting Noble Six Halo Reach armors. How are you feeling about this?
So, you know, this is one where I'm gonna be a little bit like kind of forward in what I say, and I truly mean this in a way. You know, I can't remember the name his exact name of who he is, but you know, he's always been a super strong supporter of myself. Anything that I'm doing, whether it's my diorama stuff or Lego things over the years. I'm going to drop this one on my end, and I'm just going to tell you why. I think, you know, his casts look great. You know what I mean? Like the casting themselves look awesome. I just think it just needs a little bit more work, you know what I mean? Before it's like ready, you know? But that's my opinion. You know what I mean? Like you've got that coming from somebody where like, if stuff doesn't look exactly like an action figure, but it's still in Lego form, it's not good enough for me, you know? Mm-hmm. So like I do not mean that in a way to kind of put someone down or put their stuff down. I think the helmet specifically needs a little bit more work, as well as some of the detail in the armor. Now, I will say this with a caveat. I know specifically because I've spoken to him about it. He's really kind of going for that, like that blend between
Lego-like. Exactly. Yes.
And so maybe the right way to say this is it's just not my style. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, but I will say this though. He did post some Gears of War stuff recently, and I'm definitely going to support that. So,
I just noticed that on his page. I somehow missed it. I really like the belt he's got going on that figure.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm definitely going to get the Gears of War stuff. If he's listening, man, I support what you're doing. I truly do. And it's just not my style, but the Gears of War stuff definitely is. So I will be copying a set of that. So,
yeah, no, it definitely comes down to a stylistic difference when you, you're the guy who created the Battlefield 4 Chinese engineer, you know? Like,
well, you know what, though? And I think the last thing I'll say about that, Billy, is like I would expect and I would appreciate anyone who ever feels the same way to say the exact same thing to me. You know what I mean? Like I never want someone to feel pressured into buying my stuff or saying something good about it or whatever it is, saying anything, frankly, about something, you know, like – I want this to be this like kind of like open forum. If, like I said, I want to take feedback from people, whether it's good or bad, that's how you get better. You know what I mean? So
absolutely. Yeah. No. And it is going to be so excellent to have hyper detailed casting work and items back again, sort of in the community, because they kind of have fallen away with Brick Affliction's absence. It's refreshing to see it come back.
Well, and I appreciate that, man. And I, you know, it's interesting. Like I, when I spoke to a couple people when we, you know, they knew, I was like, all right, he's going to come back and do some Lego stuff in whatever capacity that is, you know, like they're, like I said, you know, you've got Aussie Figs, you've got, I think it's like pronounced like LM9, you know, I mean, you've got, I mean, like there are tons of people who are doing some really amazing sculpting work. You know, it's just, I think casting is really, it's difficult to find a steady supplier. And that in and of itself is partly why I kind of got pushed into the 3D printing realm. But, you know, like I said, Phil's doing some good stuff, man. We've got some good equipment, and he's spent the time and he's learning how to do it right. And I think people are going to be really impressed with the first batch of stuff we have.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I know I'm excited for it all to come out as myself. So
I appreciate. Oh, and I forgot one last thing, Billy. He did a Boba Fett. Phil's Boba Fett's going
to
be.
Yes, I've been seeing that. That's awesome. Yeah. Good to hear it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've reached the end here. Thank you so much for your time, Andrew. Let everyone know where they could find you and any final words you got.
So, you know, I think for right now, people just check out my Instagram page. It's PicoVam_customs as it used to be on Flickr. Well, I guess it was just PicoVam on Flickr. And, you know, I think I'm excited to be back, man. I appreciate everybody kind of welcoming me with open arms and, you know, all the kind words and, you know, I'm here for the community. You know what I mean? Like, and so if people have suggestions about things that they want to see or stuff they need, you know, want me to fix or change or whatever it is, like, don't be afraid to shoot me a DM. I'm always available. You know, I know we all have lives and stuff, but, I keep my phone on. I mean, everybody keeps their phone on there most of the time. So, I try to be as available to, you know, the people who are supporting us as often as I can. So don't hesitate to reach out. And I would say when people buy my stuff, please tag us in that, because I really want to use, you know, the community's photos to post on the website and highlight how our products can be used. So.
Awesome. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Billy. Thank you.
Oh, gee. Back to Billy with the decrepit voice. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. After listening to myself on that intro, I'm starting to think I might have a fruitful career in ASMR with this new sultry voice discovery. Anyways, thanks for listening. Share us on Instagram or rate us 5 stars, I suppose. I'm really out of it. I don't know who the next guest is going to be either. I've not planned far enough ahead. And if I still sound like this, maybe I won't be able to record. Who's to say, really? But that's it for me. I can't continue to strain my voice like this. So I'll see you in 2 weeks or not.